Hello, welcome to Our PVC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPVCLife or through our website at ppclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
Over the past 5 years of leading this congregation, every Christmas I've attempted to do something where you can see that it is not a one-man show. It is a team that makes up this great leadership of this congregation. And so each December I try to highlight the pastoral and the support staff team. And some years it's been hard on them. Some years they have torn me apart afterwards for what I've put them through. But every year they enjoy it. No matter what they say, they do enjoy us working together and preparing for this type of a Sunday. So online, would you prepare your hearts for just PPC's pastors and staff presentation at this Christmas season? And we've entitled this Christmas season, this presentation, Make Room. Make Room. And we're going to begin this with my sharing just an opening that this will be conversations around the stable. Conversations around the stable. As we present, we want to remind you that despite the situation you face, despite the things that you're going through, despite the things you don't like, remember what God has declared over your life. King David in Psalm 119 verse 73 says, "You made me, you created me. Now give me the sense to follow your commands." And I want to remind us that we need to be confident in who we are. Be confident in who you are. Be confident in what God has called you to be. Even if you are in the stable of your life. What is the stable? The stable is the unexplainable places in life. How many are in some unexplainable places in life? Let me see your hands. Even in those unexplainable places in life, be confident in who you are and who God has called you to be. For who you are is not determined by where you are at or where you are from, nor where you were born. Who you are is determined by what God has sanctioned over you. And Jesus' life demonstrates this throughout, but even from the beginning, as a baby, he demonstrated this. Let's begin with Luke chapter 2, verse 4 to 7. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. A significant place in the history of Jesus' birth is this stable, manger as the children know it as. Remember, folks, a stable is a building in which livestock, especially horses, are kept. It most commonly means a building that was divided into separate stalls for individual animals and livestock. That's not a great start to life for a king, to be in one of these little rooms, individually sanctioned off for animals, and this is where the Savior is going to be born. So just imagine the scene around the stable that night when Mary and Joseph arrived. The horses are neighing and different animals are conducting themselves in their animal lifestyle. And Mary is here about to give birth, and her countenance must have changed somewhat when she heard there is no room in the inn. No room is available, and her husband Joseph must have felt so helpless. What do I do? I have no options, and this child has to be born. And to bring his wife to give birth in a stable, that's the only place where room was made. Can I just remind us, sometimes it's in the strangest points of our life that God makes room for us, and we don't even understand how he did it. So be confident about the how, the where, and the when God has led you. God looks at us according to who we are, our character traits, not what we have or where we came from. The destiny he has over our lives is not subject to human thinking. It is subject to us believing God to accomplish his purposes in us. So may I ask of you today, get a new perspective this Christmas season and begin to live it out. In our mission service in October and November, our focus was new perspective, the power of one, Luke chapter 15, verse 4. And I want to remind you that God sees power in you as one, because Christ has power in him as one. And so, especially in this season, don't fall apart very quickly. But allow God's new perspective to be revealed in you and just live it out loud, live it out boldly, regardless of your stable moment. Yes, Jesus was born in a stable, but Jesus is still the Messiah of the earth, the Messiah over all creation. Matthew 13, 54 says, "And coming to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished, and they said, 'Where did this man get his wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And are not all his sisters here with us? Where then did this man get all this?'" Folks, Jesus's birthplace was just a small pause in his journey, his greater journey. Who you are does not change. God has made room for you, regardless of where you are at today or where you are from in life. So maintain confidence when your circumstance does not measure up to what society has dictated to be the norm. This Christmas, do not despair, but remember who you are in Christ and God because of the baby. Determine to live out your life. Live out your life with the strength of character that God has called you to live out. Because the stable child, he already showed it to us. Who is the stable child? Jesus Christ, Yeshua, the Savior, the Redeemer, the Lord, the Maker, the Master, the Giver of life, the hope that we have for eternity. God has made room for each one of us, and he has made room for you. Amen. At this time, we're gonna have our staff do their presentation.
Jesus's story came down from the ages. Audibly, it was shared through the telling of story from hundreds of years ago, which resulted in the creation of a tradition that is now shared in over 724 languages, the Bible. Today, we have access to share tradition in a new way through technology. With as simple as a few clicks on a button, a mouse, or your phone, we can share story with people that live next door to us or in a country across the world. We can share a story that is familiar to some and new to others and create a connection with people who live in places that we not only have never been to, but places we may never get to visit. Make room for Jesus's story.
What an amazing video, yes. What a journey for Mary and Joseph. That long trip, and you need a place to stay for the night, and you get to the front desk, and you say, "Room for two, please." And they say, "Sorry, sir, there's no room in the inn." And the response, "You must have something. We can't go back out on the road. My wife, look, she's..." Hey, folks, in a time of need, when rest, refreshment is important. We need a place to be revived so we can continue the journey. I want to believe that PPC is that place. a safe place where we make room for people to come as they are, to be themselves. Yet as much as we strive to do that, we don't get it right all the time. You see, while we may not physically say there is no room, there are times people have that perception. There really isn't any room for me there. I grew up in a Pentecostal home, accepted Jesus when I was 6 years old. I enjoyed my home church. It was a great place to learn about God. I wasn't an outgoing kid, a little shy in nature, but somewhere in my teens, when it came to church, I began to realize that for those who were unfamiliar with church, it wasn't always easy for people to come inside and hear this great message of Jesus Christ. See, many times people were uncomfortable to come as they are to church. It could have been how they looked, what they wore, but there seemed to be these hurdles that people had to jump over to get inside. We hear inclusive a lot these days. We as a church, we need to make sure that we are making room for people to hear about God's love, to be a safe place without compromising biblical truths. John chapter 3 records a conversation between Jesus and an inquisitive person named Nicodemus. Nicodemus didn't come to Jesus with any fanfare or special preparation. It says he came in the middle of the night. He was probably looking for some insight, curious about Jesus' teachings. In response, Jesus didn't say, "Hey, I'm at the synagogue tomorrow morning shortly after sunrise. If you're there, I can talk with you then." No. Jesus always met people where they were. They were free to come as they are. He answered Nicodemus's questions. He shared about God's love and about being born again. Nicodemus didn't need a do-over or a get-yourself-ready list to meet with Jesus. He and us simply come to God as we are. John chapter 3:17 says, "God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Jesus accepted people. He didn't condemn them. He interacted with all ages, all people. He made room for others. Jesus made room for Nicodemus. He made room for you and I. And if Jesus could do that, we as followers of Christ must do the same. For the curious, the hurting, the overwhelmed, come as you are and there will be a safe place for you. Let's make room for others.
Psalm 8:4. Who is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. God, in all of his magnificence, makes room for us, for you and for me. Our stories tell of the times he walks alongside us. And while I'm sure in this room there are countless stories each of us can share, and while I don't have an extravagant salvation story to share, I can tell you two specific seasons recently in my Christian journey where I saw God make room for me. October 2018, hearing the news that my dad in Trinidad had a serious accident, and according to the doctors, he was not going to live past that night. "Make plans for his funeral," they said. God made room for my one-line prayer that evening on this platform during a Flow to Overflow worship night, a prayer that simply said, "God, if I ever needed a miracle, I need it now. My dad must live." Today, 4 years later, my dad is not just alive, but sustained no serious injuries or repercussions, contrary to doctors' reports, and was even able to visit me this past summer. Only God. May 2021, walking through a season of intense emotional pain, God made room for me. Psalm 23:4 says, "Even when I walk through the darkest valleys, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me," became a verse I lived by faith every day. He, God, took me through, not instantly as I would have preferred, but hour by hour, day by day, week by week, I saw him heal me, strengthen me, and restore me. These stories are reminders of his faithfulness. Every time I sing, every time I worship, it reignites my faith in a God who sees me, who made room for me, and whom I have proven that nothing, absolutely nothing is impossible with, and he can do it for you too. He'll make room for his presence to enter your seemingly impossible situations. Just ask.
Amen. Thank you. So I'm going to start Matthew 8. A man with leprosy came and kneeled before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched him. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately he was cured of leprosy. He made room for me. Growing up, I was always told by society that I was ugly, no good, that I can't achieve anything, that I will not be successful when I get older. I wore these labels until I met Jesus and I was healed. Healed by all the labels that was placed on me growing up. Labels that he didn't say I was. Right then, all the ugliness came off me. Jesus made room for me. I am clean. Jesus made room for me. I am whole. Jesus made room for me. I am healed. So Jesus made room for me, and he will make room for you. Thank you.
You should hear my story of how Jesus has always made room for me. I was born and raised in Scarborough, but I have Italian blood running through my veins. The youngest of six children, I was born to a Catholic Italian family, but there's not a time that I can see that I didn't know Jesus. In 2020, I was lending pastoral support to a young mom who was facing a legal battle. That meant spending a lot of time at a Scarborough courthouse. And one day, as I stood in an overcrowded courtroom as the judge scheduled appearances, I was overcome by emotion as I realized that I could have had a totally different story. It would have been easy for me to point my finger and judge those in the courtroom. But in my heart, I knew that my life hadn't been perfect. Unlike the rich young ruler in the book of Matthew that told Jesus that he had done everything right, I had no reason to boast. I was a sinner in need of grace, and Jesus had always made room for me. Although I was raised in a loving Christian family, I rebelled against God after I watched my 14-year-old sister die. And as a 12-year-old, I was told that my sister Jessie was the perfect one and I would never be like her. So I started walking down a dangerous road. My parents, who were still grieving, had no idea about the direction that I had taken. But Jesus had always made room for me. During a Sunday evening service, the Holy Spirit spoke to my mother and said, "Take her out of the public school system and put her into a Christian school." The very next day, that Monday, my mother obeyed Jesus. And that obedience changed the trajectory of my life. My environment changed. My attitudes changed. My friends changed. I changed. I was not who my family said I was. I was a child of God, preserved for the life story that he was writing about me. Jesus has always made room for me.
Everyone has a story or testimony. I grew up in a Christian home and was taught how to be a good Christian. As a child, that was all I knew. When I came to know Christ and accepted Jesus as my Savior, it was then that I knew and understood what it meant to have a relationship with God. When I moved to Canada from Trinidad, I was carrying around a lot of hurt. I kept it inside, pretending that everything was great. You may ask, but why? You see, I did not want to trouble anyone, and I didn't know if they would understand. I started attending PPC immediately after I arrived. One weekend, they invited a guest speaker for a special healing service. I remember when the call was made for those needing prayer. I sat in my seat, and I watched as a number of people started moving forward. And in my mind, I said to God, their needs are way bigger than what I am feeling. I told him that they needed him more than I did at that moment. And as people continued moving forward, I clearly heard the Holy Spirit say, there is always room for one more. At the end of the service, midway through the closing chorus, our guest pastor stopped the service and called me out from way back of the auditorium. For those of you who know me, that was not a good thing. I obediently went up and was asked, how are you doing today? My reply, okay, to which he responded, no, you're not. You have been carrying a load of emotional pain, but been verbally abused and kept quiet. That night, God delivered me from that pain and reminded me then that there is always room for one more. That night, that one more was me.
I was born in a large family where there was love, but going to church or spiritual things were not a priority. There were people who took interest in me and brought me to church. My aunt was one of those who made room for me. I heard about Jesus, and it didn't take me very long to respond, and I asked Jesus into my life. That's when I was 5 years of age. I've always been intrigued by the story of Jesus in Mark 10, 13 to 16. Crowds were following Jesus, and people were bringing their children to him for him to place his hands on them. During the time of Jesus' ministry, children were thought to be insignificant. Some would say meant to be seen and not heard. The disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said, "Let the children come to me." He took them in his arms and he blessed them. In a crowded home of 10, Jesus saw me and invited me to come. I made room in my heart for him, and this decision altered my life. I have failed, but he has been so faithful. The rewards have been immeasurable. The same still voice speaks to all ages today. Children, youth, adults. Revelation 3:20 states, "Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together." Let's listen to his voice, open the door, and make room for him in our hearts and in our daily lives. God bless you.
As a child and a teenager, I would not have considered myself to be in a relationship with Jesus. I would say it was more of a religion than a relationship. And God was never a part of my everyday. And although I said my prayers every night, I remember thinking or knowing, I didn't even know that I was actually talking to anybody. I was just saying things. I don't know why I was saying my prayers, to be honest with you. Probably because that's what I was taught to do in school. A few weeks ago, Pastor Marie spoke on the parable of the lost sheep. The story is found in Matthew chapter 18, which reads, "If a man has 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others on the hills and go out to search for the one that is lost? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he will rejoice over it more than over the 99 that did not wander away. In the same way, it is not my heavenly Father's will that even one of these little ones should perish." Now, I've heard this passage quite a bit before, but only recently did I come to the realization that at one point, I was the one. I was the one who was lost and then found. And if you have a relationship with Jesus, the reality is you were too. It's so easy to think that this parable is just that, a story about a shepherd and his sheep. But we know it's more than that. I came here in 2010 thinking that I just needed volunteer hours. Now that's what I thought, but clearly God had my place ready here. He made room for me here and in his family, physically and spiritually. and he makes room for whatever you need.
I grew up in a Christian home, and I really appreciate the heritage of faith that my family instilled in me. At a very young age, I prayed a prayer and accepted Jesus Christ into my life. And from a very young age, I had a real awareness of God's presence in my life. At the age of 15, I attended a Bible camp in Paris, Ontario, and I was filled with and baptized in the Holy Spirit, as the scripture teaches us. But the years that followed, I began to drift away from faith. The world began to open up to me. I began working jobs. I started making money. I had girlfriends. I had cars. And it was as if I started and began to live in a room that was very dark. And the lights were out. And I couldn't see the value of my life. I couldn't see the purpose or where I was going. And I began to struggle with that. I went through a season where I was very angry, getting into fights, being very aggressive. And one night, I attended a church service. I have no recollection of what was preached. I don't know who preached. All I knew was that the desperation of my heart to see Jesus, to know that he was real, is palatable to me. The altar call was given, and people who wanted to respond were asked to get up, walk to the front, find a chair, kneel, and begin to pray and talk to Jesus. And I really felt at that moment that I needed to do that. And so I stood up, I moved out into the aisle, but so did most of the other people in the room. And by the time I got to the front where the chairs were, there was one chair left, and it was right in the middle of the room. And I began to feel embarrassed. So I knelt at the chair like everyone else did, but I stared at the back of the chair, and I thought to myself, 2 minutes and I'm out of here. But as I was kneeling there, the ache in my heart was so great. I felt like I couldn't take it anymore. And I just simply said, Jesus, I need to know that you're real. And as I was kneeling there, I just said his name, Jesus. And it was a moment when I felt like Jesus made room for me. It felt like he came and sat down beside me and began to just lift the burden off my heart. And he turned the lights on, and for the first time in my life, I began to see. There's a story in John chapter 9 where Jesus and his disciples encountered a man who was blind. And a conversation goes something like this. His disciples ask Jesus, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus responded, he said, neither this man or his parents sinned, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. And then Jesus spits on the ground, makes some mud, puts it on the eyes of the man, and for the first time, the man could see. That's my story. Jesus opened my eyes. And I began to see him for the first time, and it changed my life forever.
When we put our presentation together, it was in October at a staff retreat. Pastor Taylor was with us. Taylor Collado had written this, and I'm going to read it on his behalf as he spent the year with us. This Christmas season, I'm reminded and amazed that even though there was no room for Jesus in the inn, he still makes room for us when we come to him. One of my favorite stories in scripture is the story of Peter walking on the water. There's been a storm raging around the disciples, and they see Jesus walking towards the boat. Peter jumps out of the boat to walk on the water with Jesus, but the wind and the waves are battering him from every side. The chaos and confusion are substantial, and Peter panics. He fears for his life, and he looks away from Jesus and starts to sink. On January 5th, 2020, my daughter Henley was born. On a day that should have been filled with joy and excitement, in a lot of ways, I felt like Peter trying to walk on the water towards Jesus, but kept being pounded by the storm around me. See, Henley was born via emergency C-section without time for any anesthesia for my wife. There was chaos, confusion, a lot of fear, a lot of panic. For a moment, I thought I was losing both my wife and my child. I was sinking. But the story doesn't end with Peter sinking in the water. In an instant, Jesus reached out his hand and pulled Peter from the water. I experienced the same thing when Henley was born. Jesus, in the middle of the chaos and confusion, reached out his hand and pulled me from the storm. I could imagine Jesus' voice speaking to me like he could have spoken to Peter. Don't look at the storm around you, just look at me. In the middle of chaos, confusion, fear, and panic, Jesus made room for his presence, his peace, and his love to take control of my life. Jesus made room for me. So our encouragement today is make room for the Lord Jesus Christ on your journey. Who are you? Where are you at? What's your situation? Lay it down and get back on your God-given journey. Change your perspective and claim your God-given destiny. There is an unseen plan for your life, sometimes an unseen pathway, but God is guiding, God is holding, God is helping, God is directing you in these unseen pathways, so rest in his love. Start embracing the awesome future that God has in store for you and also for others. Make room, because he made room for you. Make room for others. I love this story in Luke 19, verse 1 to 10 with Jesus and Zacchaeus. Jesus entered Jericho, made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region and had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. He was gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner. He has gone to be the guest in a notorious sinner's home, they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half my wealth to the poor. Lord, if I've cheated people of their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. And Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. Let us develop a Christmas perspective, not just a festive perspective. The ruler was rich, but he was empty. He was famous, but he was lonely. He was powerful, but he struggled with self-image issues. It says tax collectors were hated in that day for what they did. And it also states he was a short man. Only by the power of God can one change a negative reputation and a negative image in such an instance. But Jesus showed up and change occurred. Jesus called to him, paid attention to his need, and showed him love. And everything began to change in Zacchaeus, and it restored him to who God created him to be. But the religious crowd, the people who could not handle some people having the God factor in their life or the God blessing in their life. The people who had made the decision that you get to stay in the situation you're in. The Bible tells us they were upset. They grumbled. They were displeased. Imagine the Bible saying, Jesus just released a man and the religious people were displeased and were grumbling. They could not see that this changed life could occur for this man and that he would change other lives. Yet when he stepped into God's God-given role, he accepted Christ and he began to give back to the poor. He began to give back from what he had cheated. We have no idea what God wants to do through the life of one, but people today need life change, and we know the life changer. It is Jesus Christ. So Christ's birth is still about bringing people into their purpose, reaching the one. Wheresoever they are, whatever stable moment they're in, Jesus calls to each one personally because his mission is to seek and to save the lost. Christ persisted by inviting Zacchaeus and saying, I'm coming to your house. And then Zacchaeus persisted when he climbed the tree to see Jesus. Persistence on both sides. And so I want to point out today, people need Jesus. Let's persist at all costs. And may I also speak to the one who need Jesus. You need Jesus. Persist at all costs. Some life changes come by invitation, and some come by the call. But let's make room for others, for Jesus made room for us. Amen. Father, we cry out today for the one who feels indifferent to the church, distant to the relationship with you. You're so near to each one of us. Zacchaeus felt you were so far away he couldn't see you and couldn't hear you. And he climbed a tree, but he was the one you noticed, and his voice you heard, and Father, and you read his heart, and he heard your voice. Father, would you read the heart cry of people today, and may they hear your still small voice calling them into salvation. For your purpose in coming as a baby was not so that we celebrate with food, but so that we celebrate with families. Christian family, and or and even our nuclear families. But what is important is that we celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ. So Lord, I pray today for the one who needs to make it right with you. You've made room for them. Now may they accept that door that is open and enter into your invitation. Father, Zacchaeus had to open his door to let you in. I pray someone today, online, in their own homes, in their car, at their workplace, wherever they are, right here in this service, would open their heart and make room for you have already made room for them. So we ask this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you accepted Christ for the first time today, we want to help you with next steps. Please email us at prayer@ppclife.ca, and a pastor or volunteer will be in touch with you. We pray that you have a wonderful and safe day or night, and we'll see you soon, church family.